Well, how is what the candidates are saying about the economy resonating? And what about the elephant in the living room, Europe? There's a conference today in Berlin highlighting a debate that's very familiar here. Germany insisting on severe austerity measures in failing economies like Greece. Well, some economists and policymakers say, no, put money in the pockets of consumers to grow the economy. Simon Johnson is the MIT professor and senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, also co-founder of the economics blog Baseline. Scenario.com. He joins us. Simon, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And start with the candidates. Are you hearing something from the candidates that's really standing out for you?
Well, John Huntsman actually has the most distinctive economic message, particularly around the so-called too-big-to-fail banks. He actually wants to force them to break up. If they're above a certain size, he'll put a punitive tax on them. And that's the most creative idea we've seen from any politician from the right or the left over the past 3 or 4 years on this issue.
Is this the same regulation that Britain is considering, you know, a fee on banks if their size exceeds a certain percentage of the economy?
No, it's more radical, pushing further than the British, even the British want to go. And I think it's eminently sensible. It has a lot of support from the right and also from independents. So he may still get traction with that idea.
And how would you do that? How would it work?
Well, you decide at what level the bank's failure would be damaging to the economy. That's the too big to fail threshold. And you put a tax on them if they have more debt than you think is warranted, or just the pure size, the amount of assets, their loans and other securities they hold is too big. You put this high tax on. And remember, our biggest banks are much larger than they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And it's really not clear that we need banks at this scale in order for the rest of the economy to function fine. In fact, the evidence from 2008 to today is that when the mega banks threaten to go down, that causes a massive recession, and that's why we lost more than 8 million jobs.
You've also said that John Huntsman has pointed to a weakness in current international banking regulations, which in effect encourage these big banks to invest in sovereign debt, the debt of other countries. So it almost makes it impossible for them not to?
Well, this is a technical issue, but again, Huntsman has managed to map that onto the political agenda. The technical issue is that the way regulators look at banks, they see sovereign debt, government securities, as the safest thing that banks can hold. And obviously what we've seen from the European experience over the past couple of years is that's really not true in that context and more broadly. And so this idea of we'll just do smart regulation and that will prevent the big banks from blowing up again, that's a failed idea in a technical sense. Huntsman is trying to explain why that's a failed idea politically as well.
Well, we also remember stories about investing firms like Goldman Sachs encouraging people to invest in, let's say, Greece, and that didn't work out so well as we're seeing. We're going to get to Greece and Europe in just a second, but I want to touch on Ron Paul. You say we should take some of his criticism of banking seriously.
Absolutely. I'm not a libertarian. I'm not a Ron Paul supporter. But I think the ideas he has around banking, he has a book, for example, called End the Fed. His critique of the mega banks and the power, the abusive power that they've acquired in American society, that critique is actually really very telling. He goes, I think, in the wrong direction, that he wants to abolish the Federal Reserve, and he forgets that before we had the Federal Reserve, we still had concentration of power and abuse of power within the financial sector in the United States. So I don't think he has the right solution for it. But his diagnosis that we have a deep, long and long-standing problem within our big banks, that is actually pretty much on target.
Well, we'll talk more about that. But just to underscore how much we're connected with what's happening overseas. Today we see that despite some good economic news here in the U.S. on Friday, both U.S. and European stocks are really, you know, having a hard time today because of this meeting in Europe, a warning from Germany's leader that Greece may not get its bailout cash. And, you know, we know Greece is in terrible trouble. All these countries are looking at deadlines for paying off interest on their huge debt. Just explain to us a little bit. It sounds as if the debate in Europe, just in the minute we have before the break, the debate in Europe is one that we're familiar with here. Cuts make us, you know, austerity cuts or infuse with money, stimulus.
Well, it certainly resonates to some degree, although I wouldn't overdo the comparison. The key point is if you delay dealing with your budget issues for too long, then you can find yourself in the kind of situation that Greece, Portugal, and unfortunately also Italy are in, which is your option is either do austerity or risk really being beaten up very badly in the financial markets, having to pay much higher interest rates and not being able to finance yourself. That's not a good choice, not a place where we or anyone else should want to go.
Simon Johnson. We've been talking a little bit about what he's hearing from the Republican presidential candidates on the campaign trail, but also the thing that isn't being spoken of that much, which is the European debt crisis. Americans might be forgiven for asking, oh, is that still going on? Yes, it is very much, but it's somewhat, it feels as if it's been overshadowed. And Simon, just, you know, start with, if you would, just a little 101 for us. We're coming up on, you know, what the euro formed in January of 2002, about 10 years ago. How and why was it created? What was it supposed to do? And what's gone wrong in some views?
Well, the European shared currency, the euro, was designed to continue the process of European integration that really began after World War II, that brought those economies closer together, that made it harder for them to have, for example, another major war or any kind of conflict. So a lot of the integration that took place did make sense. A lot of it was about trade. A lot of it was about being able to move goods around, and increasingly people were able to move around as well within the European Union. They decided in the 1990s that they wanted to have a monetary union on top of that, and that's where things have unfortunately gone wrong. They built a monetary union without unifying their fiscal accounts.
Well, I was going to say it worked out kind of well in some aspects because the euro was trading higher than the dollar. But as you and others point out, that meant that Greece, in particular, countries could borrow cheaply.
Absolutely. They've had a massive credit boom. We had a credit boom, of course, over the past decade or the decade running up to 2008, and we borrowed heavily for residential mortgages, actually. The Europeans had a credit boom, and they borrowed heavily for government spending in some countries. That's the experience of Greece, for example. And other countries such as Italy that really needed to make some fiscal adjustment and could have done it more gradually, well, they didn't bother because credit was cheap, and they kept rolling over their existing debts, and now they have to roll over, reborrow every year an enormous amount relative to the size of their economy. Some people estimate it's in the 25-30% of GDP. That's the size of their economy. Every year, the Italians need to borrow afresh.
And we understand Greece has a rollover coming up. You mentioned Italy. Greece, Ireland, Portugal have all been bailed out by other countries, but the fear is now that, you know, much bigger Italy and Spain may end up needing financial assistance. And is there a debate, when we touched on this and you said don't make too much on it, but is there a debate about whether one should concentrate on cutting down the huge debt or stimulating the economy?
Yes, there is a debate within Europe. And the problem is that when you've got as much debt as Greece has, it's very hard to find a viable future through any path, either through austerity or through going out and spending more. They really need to restructure the debt. They need to reduce the value of that debt. But that is incredibly controversial and also dangerous because their banks, their mega banks, their huge banks, bigger relative to the size of their economies than even our mega banks are relative to the size of the United States, their mega banks are holding an enormous amount of government debt. So if you start to restructure one country, Greece, for example, people can say, well, what's going to happen to my Italian debt? That's 1.9 trillion euros outstanding Italian debt, at least. And what's that going to do to the banks? And what is that going to do to other governments? And what's that going to do to the U.S. economy? And so on.
Well, play out one of those scenarios, the U.S. economy.
Well, I think this is going to be a major problem for the U.S. later this year. I don't think it's going to interrupt the primaries. I think the Europeans are going to throw enough money at the problem domestically using the European Central Bank to keep the situation together for the next few months. But by the time we get to the general election in the United States, it's going to be very interesting to see the extent to which we have pressures coming from either one big crisis or maybe it's repeated mini crises coming out of Europe. Obviously, President Obama needs unemployment to come down and stay down, but he may well be facing a lot of pressure to going the other way if the European situation really deteriorates rapidly. The U.S. would like to stabilize the situation, but there's not much they can do, and frankly, not much that they should do. This is a European problem. The Europeans have to sort this out for themselves.
We all know how interconnected it is, though. And just, you know, looking at these numbers, unemployment in Spain at 23%, it would just seem that, and we saw, you know, in Greece, you know, the huge protests over the austerity cuts there. So, again, bring it back to the U.S. You say there's nothing much the U.S. can do, but what?
Well, but nothing. Europe is a very, very large economy. It's larger by some measures than the United States. They have deep fiscal problems. They have to agree eventually, I think, on some sort of fiscal union within Europe. There's a governance problem within the European Union. For the United States to provide, you know, $10 billion, $100 billion in loans, or for the International Monetary Fund to weigh in and provide $1 trillion in loans, even if you could get support for that, it really wouldn't make much sense. The Europeans have to sort out their own problems for themselves. And now, for American politicians, this is pretty unpleasant. This is way beyond their control. And yet it's going to have potentially a big impact on the November elections.
And what do you see as the future in the U.S. as this debate is carried out here, the cuts or spending?
I think we will talk a lot about cuts and fiscal contraction. But frankly, I think all the politicians are going to promise to extend the Bush-era tax cuts at the end of this year. In fact, we'll probably end up calling them the Bush-Obama tax cuts by the time we're done. And that's not austerity. That's going the other way. That's not being careful with our future fiscal accounts. And I think that the danger is that we will regret that lack of caution down the road.
Well, but what if they were cuts? Let's say, what if the only cuts that were kept were for, as you know, we constantly hear, people making below a certain amount of money, so that you have half stimulus, you know, putting some money in the pockets of people, but raising taxes on, let's say, you know, the suggestion was income over $1 million. Is that half stimulus, half austerity?
No, it's mostly not austerity. The unfortunate and unsurprising truth is, unless the middle class pays the taxes, you don't raise enough revenue. This is still a middle class based society. And saying that we're not going to raise taxes on certain income groups, for example, people who've done well on the basis of those tax cuts over the past decade or so, is not going to help you bring the budget under control.
Okay, Simon Johnson, professor of entrepreneurship at MIT, senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics, co-founder of the economics blog, BaselineScenario.com, saying he's liking some of the things he's hearing out of Republican presidential candidates like John Huntsman, who says break up the big banks, and Ron Paul, who we know has so much criticism of the Fed. But absolutely no easy answers, Simon, which, as we know, with this subject is to be expected. Simon, thank you so much.
Thank you.